It's Tuesday, March 24th, 2015, and here are the stories we're covering this week. Facebook is getting into the hosting game. The worst case scenario for Linux users could be on the horizon as Microsoft tries to push hardware manufacturers to make secure boot mandatory in time for Windows 10, locking out other operating systems. Twitch users are being told to change passwords amid hack fears. Imagine a tracking device tiny enough to affix to a bee. It's a real thing and it's being tested in England. Hackers can use heat to steal your data. And these stories are coming right up. Don't go anywhere.
How would you like to have cheap web hosting? We've got some for you. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost. Use the coupon code CAT5TV. And when you do, for only $70, you're going to get a free registration for your domain, as well as unlimited website hosting and unlimited email accounts, amidst other things. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost. And remember, on checkout, use the coupon code CAT5TV to take advantage of this offer. Back to the newsroom, Sasha.
I'm Sasha Germays, and here are the top stories from the Category5.tv newsroom. Early this year, as Facebook was touting its incredible growth as a video hosting provider, speculation began to mount that Facebook would look to host content beyond video. Would Facebook get publishers to let it host their articles? It appears that such a plan is now in motion. The New York Times is reporting that itself, as well as BuzzFeed, National Geographic, and others, are joining Facebook in testing a new format that will see content hosted inside of Facebook, so users won't have to go to an external site. The tests will occur in the next several months. The idea behind this is that it takes too long to go to an outside website and wait for the page to load. This content could load faster, particularly on mobile, if Facebook just hosted it itself. That makes sense to me, to be honest, Robbie, because I will sometimes click an article and let it try and load for maybe 2.5 seconds. And then I'm like, oh, no, I'm out.
So true. It was so impatient, this society. First of all, your show tonight is sponsored by a web host, so we have to tread carefully. The answer is no. You would not host with Facebook. Bad idea.
Yes.
I can see the infrastructure of the way that the internet works. If you had it hosted on Facebook, it would come up faster. I mean, you click on a message or something that has been posted and it's instant, right? But then you click on an external link and it takes forever on the Facebook app. Why don't they instead take the approach of building some kind of a proxy service or something that preloads content for links that have been shared on the Facebook platform?
Oh, that makes sense.
That would be kind of good. Or, those kinds of technologies exist that they could be doing more to improve the performance without, I mean, it's their app, right?
Yeah, they want control of everything.
They want control.
Why wouldn't they want control, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Microsoft unveiled new information about Windows 10 at its WinHack conference in China on Friday, and the news is deeply concerning to anyone who values the ability to run non-Microsoft operating systems. Like Windows 8, Windows 10 will ship with support for the UEFI Secure Boot Standard, but this time the off switch, which was previously mandatory, is now optional. So that's bad news for Linux. Secure boot is meant to protect PCs from certain types of malware that are typically loaded before the OS boot process has begun. With Secure Boot active, the UEFI checks the signature of any program that it's told to load, including the OS bootloader. While multiple Linux distros support the capability, the problem is Microsoft mandates that Secure Boot ships enabled. This caused panic in the open source community back in 2011 because if an alternative OS bootloader isn't signed with an appropriate key on a Secure Boot enabled system, the UEFI will refuse to boot the drive. Microsoft defused the situation back then by mandating that all x86 systems ship with the ability to disable secure boot. With Windows 10, the situation is changing. Those who build their own desktops will be will retain the ability to disable secure boot since the manufacturer doesn't know what kind of operating system you're going to load on the board. But laptops are a different story. Some laptop vendors will undoubtedly continue to ship a disable option on secure boot, but vendors may simply decide that closing the attack vector is more important than user freedom, particularly when the margin on PCs is so low to begin with. Support calls cost money, so eliminating the need for such interaction is extremely attractive, but sad. Really, right, Robbie? Like,
I guess that's the driving factor. I mean, money is really what it boils down to. And if you go into a super center and buy a $200 laptop, mm-hmm. and they have to kind of include support to some degree, even if it's not, I don't know. I guess you have to be able to pick up the phone and contact the company, right?
So does that mean that for somebody who really wants Linux, right?
Yeah.
You would have to then build your own system?
That's kind of what that's the impression. Like, I wonder if we're taking this transition, if this happens, back toward thinking of the early days of Mac, for example, where there was Mac hardware and there was PC hardware, and PC being, it could have been Unix, it could have been Linux, it could have been Gorin, it could have been Windows, whatever you were running, MS-DOS, Dr. DOS, or whatever, and QEMM 386, or Q, you know, all these, I love reminiscing. But would we be transitioning now to Windows hardware? Mm-hmm. So that now, if I want to buy a laptop, there's a Windows laptop, and there's an open laptop that is, you know, I can install whatever OS I want on it, but you won't necessarily be able to walk into a super center and get one for $200 anymore.
Right. You have to buy it some other place, like either a specialty store. Or
which means what? To me, as a consumer, more money.
Yes. Right?
So I'm not going to save the money. Quite possibly.
We'll make it work.
We'll make it work. We'll hack the firmware. We will hack the firmware right here and show you how it's done.
Exactly.
If it can be done, it will be done. Then the conversation becomes, like, I start thinking, what if, for example, we were to sign up with VeriSign and get a cryptographic signature for UEFI for Grub, the bootloader that pretty much every Linux distribution uses. Well, that's put in general, but a lot of big Linux distros use Grub, the bootloader. So if they had a signature, couldn't you then distribute that version of Grub with the signature? But then it comes down to, well, how secure is that now? Because then wouldn't every hacker create their exploits to use Grub,
right?
For example. So there's this really, so that's why it's like, okay, so how much power are we giving Microsoft in this particular thing? How much control does that give them over the hardware that stores are able to sell? Because stores simply won't probably carry Linux laptops.
Right.
They're going to be Windows laptops, knowing that someone may install Linux. But if that is taken away from us, the consumer, it's more than just a freedom thing. It's like
monopoly.
It's monopoly is what it looks like.
Hoy. Well, here we have it. Users of the Amazon-owned video game streaming service Twitch have been instructed to change their passwords amid fears the site has been hacked. Twitch told users that their names and phone numbers were among the details feared to have been leaked. It said it had deleted passwords, which were encrypted, and disconnected users' accounts from Twitter and YouTube. But the site came in for criticism after it appeared to condone users setting weak replacement passwords. After complaints for some users that the minimum requirement for replacement passwords was too restrictive, Twitch lowered its threshold, requiring only 8-digit passwords.
No, you
That's
don't give
perfect.
The...
You could use passwords as a password.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 becomes a legitimate password under these rules.
Wow.
That's nuts.
That obviously prompted criticism from security experts. Even Sasha. Twitch did not directly admit that it had been hacked. Instead, they simply said there may have been unauthorized access to some Twitch user account information. Well, Twitch, goodness gracious. Passwords.
Why would we give the end users control over the security of the password?
This is too hard, they say.
Why do we create restrictive passwords in the first place? For your safety.
So here's what happened in how I understand it. So it was hacked. So
no,
they had,
no, no, they're not change, saying that.
But they had to change your passwords because of the security intrusion. Is that what happened? And then people had to resubmit new passwords?
Just up until now, it's been they've allowed only an 8-character password with low security.
Wow.
And so if that makes it pretty easy to brute force, I think, and services like that, who's watching the brute force logs to make sure that someone's not trying to guess your password? Would you know? Would you know if someone was sitting there using your Facebook login and trying to guess your password? Would you know that?
No, you wouldn't know that. You wouldn't know that except in certain programs. I know my blog, it locks people out after a certain amount of password attempts.
It sure does.
It does, but my Facebook doesn't.
Yeah.
Right?
How is it that we are more secure than Facebook?
Oh, here's the best story.
No way.
Yeah.
There's more?
There's more. A tiny new tracker designed to monitor bee behavior is being tested by ecologists at Kew Gardens in London. It is made from off-the-shelf technology and is based on equipment used to track pallets in warehouses. Readers used to pick up a signal are connected to Raspberry Pi computers, which log readings. The device has a reach of just 2.5 meters, which is a huge improvement over the previous generation, which ranged only 1 centimeter, which
Whoa.
Is crazy small. 1 centimeter is like the length of the actual antenna on that bee.
Yes, really.
The tracker consists of a standard RFID chip and a specifically designed antenna, which is thinner and lighter than other models used to track small insects, which allows them to boost the range. The idea is to have readers dotted around a hive and flower patch in order to track the signals as the bees move around freely in the wild. The engineer, who is a technical director at the Newcastle-based tech firm Tumbling Dice, is currently trying to patent the invention. I love this. I love, though, I asked you earlier, it's worker bees they're putting these antenna on. So yeah. It's not disrupting any sort of...
Yeah, you look at that antenna and you think, the poor mating bee who gets jabbed through the heart.
Exactly. All of a sudden it's very praying mantis or something.
Yeah. No, nothing like that. These are worker bees, so they're not mating, but they actually glue these with some kind of crazy glue or something.
That probably just like sloughs off at some point, right? Like
I wonder
it's not
if, yeah.
Permanent.
But it doesn't seem to harm them. It doesn't affect their flight. It's lightweight enough that they're still able to go about their business.
Yeah,
their business.
It looks like the worker bees have a new uniform.
Is that not like if they can make stuff? I know that this is only what did you say, 2 meter?
Yes.
Range.
Yeah.
So could it not be used, like if I think of a shopping mall. We talked about a shopping mall and security of the cameras and stuff. You could place enough RFID scanners to pick up anything within a 2 meter radius, no matter where you are in that mall. So for tracking and stuff, could they use it for stuff like that? Or that's
Did you just take that into a dark place?
I did,
Is
yeah.
that what just happened?
I picture a bee. And little tiny cameras on him and the NSA with a remote. I don't know.
Usually I'm the one that goes down that slippery slope.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Side.
But did you see this thing?
But I love this idea only because there's such a problem right now with bees dying off, right? And bees are in charge of what we eat. We are only eating because of bees and their ability to pollinate.
I saw the cartoon. I know it's true.
I believe it's true. I didn't see the cartoon, but I think that I believe that bees are in charge of, you know, almonds. That's important.
Yeah.
So if we can use them and track what's going on with their daily lives and find a way to make them live longer and stop dying off in such large... Well, although those antenna might not help them for longevity. I just realized. Okay.
Yeah, if it can be used for good.
It might be.
Then that, and certainly that's what they're doing.
Exactly.
We just
not for good though. Here, researchers have discovered a new method to breach air-gapped computer systems called BitWhisper, which enables two-way communications between adjacent unconnected PC computers using heat. BitWhisper bridges the air gap between the two computers, approximately 15 inches apart, that are infected with malware by using their heat emissions and built-in thermal sensors to communicate. It establishes a covert bidirectional channel by emitting heat from one PC to the other in a controlled manner. This blows my mind. According to the researchers, the scenario is prevalent in many organizations where there are two computers on a single desk. One is connected to the internal network and the other is connected to the internet. BitWhisper can be used to steal small chunks of data, passwords, for example, especially the 8-digit ones, and they can use them for command and control. That is scary. Yikes. So, I had this great idea that we just put little coolies on top of the towers. I think it's perfect. No heat transfer at all, then.
I think that they could bring back ice block delivery, and you just set one in between your two computers. Yeah. Keep you safe, folks.
You know what? This is great for people in cubicles. Cubicle workers can now ask for a larger cubicle. You want your computer to be more than 15 centimeters yes. away from your neighbor's computer. You need your own office.
With walls and everything.
I know. I'm on your side.
All right.
For all your tech news with a slight Linux bias, visit the Category5.tv newsroom at newsroom.category5.tv. For the Category5.tv newsroom, I'm Sasha Dermatis.